This is Encounter on VOA. Here's Carol Castillo.
Welcome to Encounter on the Voice of America. On this edition of the program, is Ethiopia on the brink of civil war? What's behind the outbreak of violence between the Ethiopian central government and the leadership in the northern Tigray region? Hello again. I'm Carol Castiel. On November 4, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize in 2019 for resolving the border conflict with neighboring Eritrea, launched a military offensive in Tigray after accusing its ruling party, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, of attacking a federal army base. According to Agence France-Presse, hundreds of people have been killed so far in the conflict in Ethiopia, Africa's second most populous country. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, warns that a full-scale humanitarian crisis is unfolding as thousands of refugees flee the fighting in Ethiopia's Tigray region to seek safety in eastern Sudan. Thus far, more than 30,000 Ethiopians have fled into Sudan. In addition, aid agencies say they are struggling to reach thousands of Eritrean refugees living in Tigray. Until Abiy Ahmed came to power in 2018, the Tigray People's Liberation Front were part of Ethiopia's ruling coalition. However, according to a Sufan Center intel brief on the conflict, one of the reasons why the TPLF did not want to join Abiy Ahmed's New Prosperity Party coalition is because he was willing to concede the town of Badme to Eritrea. This territorial concession led to the end of a more than 20-year-long border standoff between Ethiopia and Eritrea and earned Abiy Ahmed the Nobel Peace Prize. The Sufan Center says that some international organizations are urging Abiy Ahmed to engage in peace talks with the TPLF, but for now, it appears that the Ethiopian military is looking for a decisive victory. Sudan and Eritrea are cooperating with the Ethiopian military, while the TPLF does not appear to have substantive foreign backing. In a dangerous escalation of the violence, the Tigray People's Liberation Front attacked the airport in Asmara, the capital of Eritrea, on November 14th. The U.S. Department of State issued a strong condemnation of this attack and expressed its concern that the TPLF is causing unnecessary regional instability. The State Department is, quote, urging both the TPLF and the Ethiopian authorities to take immediate steps to de-escalate the conflict, restore peace, and protect civilians, unquote. Well, for more on the political and humanitarian crisis in Ethiopia and threats to the region, we turn to two distinguished analysts. Ambassador David Shin is former ambassador to Ethiopia and Burkina Faso, currently professor of international affairs at the George Washington University's School of International Affairs, and Susan Stigand. She's director of Africa programs at the U.S. Institute of Peace. Susan also serves as co-chair of USIP's National Dialogue Working Group. Prior to joining USIP, she managed constitutional development, citizen engagement, and election observation programs at the National Democratic Institute. And both panelists joined me via Microsoft Teams to stem the spread of the coronavirus. Ambassador Shin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Carol.
And Susan, we're very happy to have you as well, Susan Stigand.
Thanks for having me on, Carol.
So let me first go to you, Ambassador Shin. How concerned are you about this outbreak of violence? And what do you believe are the primary underlying factors, you know, the tensions between the federal government in Addis and the Tigray region that possibly led to this outbreak of violence?
I'm deeply troubled by what has occurred in the last several weeks, particularly, although the antecedents of it go back probably three decades. I think that it has the possibility of literally a breakup of Ethiopia if this is not handled very delicately. In the first instance, I think the problem goes back to an issue that you alluded to, and that is the fact that you had the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front, known as the EPRDF, which was in control of the country starting in 1991, but the principal partner in the EPRDF was the Tigrayan People's Liberation Front, or the TPLF, which had considerable control of government throughout most of the last three decades. That changed when Abiy Ahmed came to power in 2018. You saw a retreat, sort of, by Tigrayans back to Tigray region, which borders Eritrea, borders Amhara region, borders Sudan. there was apparently a desire to establish a firm control by the TPLF in Tigray region. We saw that with the local elections that took place there that ran in spite of an edict out of Addis Ababa that all elections be postponed. That exacerbated the relationship between Tigray region and Addis Ababa. One thing led to another, and you had in recent weeks this outbreak of real conflict between Tigray and effectively the rest of Ethiopia. Unfortunately, that is only part of the problem, and it's the only problem that's being focused on at the moment. There still are all of the ethnic issues that were very serious in Ethiopia prior to this conflict between Tigray and the government in Addis Ababa.
Over to you, Susan Stigant. Are you equally concerned, as is Ambassador Shin, that the current crisis could even lead to a breakup of Ethiopia, that these tensions are so longstanding and even precede the most recent ones he alluded to, whether it's the change of government in 2018, as well as, you know, the fact that the region of Tigray held elections in defiance of the federal government because of the COVID crisis? What's your take?
I don't think we can overestimate at this stage the risks of this conflict, the violence and the consequences, the terrible humanitarian and security consequences that it could have both for Ethiopia's security and future and peace, and all of the hopes that I think people had as the country went into this transition, and also the potential risks and what we see already as the regionalization of this conflict with the refugees spilling into Sudan's eastern region. At the same time, I think it's not inevitable that we're in a stage of protracted violence between the federal government and the Tigray region. But changing path will fundamentally require a different approach, taking a different approach of responsibility by both of these parties. As I think about where did this conflict come from and what underlies it, in addition to some of the particular events that you and Ambassador Shin outlined, when the transition took place for Ethiopia, there was never a moment where there was agreement on a new political settlement for the country. There were negotiations and new structures that were put in place. Prime Minister Abiy founded the Prosperity Party, but there was not a fundamental agreement about how the country would go forward to elections and what the structures would look like given the massive social, political, and economic changes that were underway. And I think this is what the country will really need to grapple with. But first, the immediate priority is really to de-escalate the violence and to get the country back from the brink that it's really facing at this moment.
Back to you, Ambassador Shin. In terms of Tigray, what do you think the TPLF wants? I mean, they are well-armed and experienced fighters. And to what extent are the people of Tigray behind them? Do they have popular support?
Sure. I can only speculate as to what the Tigray authorities want and also the degree of support they have from the Tigrayan people. My impression is that the Tigrayan authorities, the TPLF, are looking for a greater degree of regional autonomy. Hence, they went forward with elections, even though the government in Addis Ababa was opposed to that. I don't believe, as some in Ethiopia allege, that the TPLF is trying to reassert authority over the entire country. And that is one of my real concerns now, that there is, a growing feeling in some quarters in Ethiopia and in the diaspora that you must absolutely crush the TPLF before there can be any solution to the problem. I think that would simply exacerbate the problem if there were an effort to do that. As far as the support for the TPLF, as we saw during the recent regional elections in October, the TPLF won overwhelmingly. There were not international observers for that election, so we don't know whether there were any problems with it. And I am a little surprised, quite frankly, that the government military forces have been able to enter Tigray region and take the towns of Shire and Aksum. I would not have thought it would have been that easy to do that. But whether that is simply a short-term victory by the federal government forces and there are much more difficult things to come or not remains to be seen.
Susan Stigant, what's your take on what the TPLF want at the end of the day, and how would you assess the federal government's intervention and the fact that it seems, at least from the rhetoric we're hearing, that they would like to just crush this uprising? And is that even possible or desirable in the long run?
I'm really concerned by the characterization of this rule of law operation and the idea that a military operation can address what at the core will be fundamentally political challenges and political problems. I think Prime Minister Abbey has accused the TPLF of undermining the transition, of fomenting violence and opposition throughout the country, and really being the obstacle towards the reforms that he envisions. My view is, even if that were true, even if we take at face value the allegations that the TPLF attacked the Northern Command, then any sort of response has to be proportionate. We know from history in Ethiopia's own terrible violence that the country has lived through, and that I think every family and individual has been affected and knows the stories all too well, that violence rarely, if ever, works in the long term. And so I think what's fundamentally needed is, how do we get the parties to step back and think about a different way of approaching this? Because I think there's a real risk that it continues to devolve into some sort of protracted conflict, and whether that's medium intensity conflict or just ongoing low level intensity conflict.
Well, we'll have more on that in just a moment. But first, you're listening to Encounter on the Voice of America. Joining me via Microsoft Teams are Ambassador David Shin, former ambassador to Ethiopia and Burkina Faso, and Susan Stigand, from whom you just heard. She's director of Africa programs at the U.S. Institute of Peace. And we're discussing the outbreak of deadly violence in the Tigray region of Ethiopia and its regional ramifications. This is a reminder that our Encounter podcast is available for free download on our website at voanews.com/encounter. You may also follow us on Twitter or connect with us on Facebook at Carol Castiel, VOA. Well, here's a shout out to a loyal Encounter listener and Facebook fan, Orot Moses from Juba, South Sudan. If you want to hear your name and home country on the air, please like us and leave a comment on our Facebook page. Well, back to our discussion, and over to you, Ambassador Shin, about trying to diffuse this horrible crisis, which has displaced so many Ethiopians, Eritreans, who had sought refuge in Tigray. They're going to Eastern Sudan. It's very difficult for Sudan in particular, because it is trying to chart a path toward democracy after so many years of authoritarian rule. Do you see any type of mediation, the international community?
I think there's the possibility that some outside organizations would be willing to mediate the current situation. I'm not sure I see that much willingness inside Ethiopia to accept mediation from the outside. I wanted to echo a point that Susan made, and that is, at the moment, everyone seems to be totally focused on the conflict between the central government military forces and the TPLF forces, almost seemingly making the assumption that if that could be resolved, that Ethiopia's problems would be over. I don't see it that way at all. I think, as Susan suggests, there's a much broader need for a nationwide political settlement, discussion, and dialogue at the national level. You will still have differences among the Oromo, the most populous ethnic group in Ethiopia. There will still be problems in Beni Shangal, in Somali region, conceivably in Afar region, and in southwestern Ethiopia. All of these need to be looked at and discussed in a collaborative way, and simply bringing the current military conflict to an end is not going to end the overall problem. Even if it were possible to bring the current conflict in Tigray to an end militarily, and I think that is highly doubtful.
That's an excellent point that you bring up, Ambassador Shin. So back to you, Susan Stigand, about this need for a national dialogue, and to what extent it's even possible under Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed, who has postponed elections. As Ambassador Shin said, there are so many, and you have as well, there are many other ethnic tensions swept under the rug, whether Oromo, Somali region, Afar. First of all, do you think that Abiy Ahmed and his party recognize the need for that? And if they do they even have the political will to initiate a national dialogue?
Well, there have been some initiatives already launched towards a national dialogue in partnership with the government. I think that those are encouraging to some extent. However, it's not sufficiently inclusive of the key political groups who need part of that conversation. And with this escalation in violence in Tigray, and what we've seen is really a closing of political space, an increase in the number of prisoners, an increase in the violence and intercommunal and interethnic violence, creating a safe space for people to have a genuine dialogue is increasingly difficult. And so I think it's the right time to plan towards what that dialogue would need to look like. However, getting to a place where some confidence can be built that that would be a meaningful, trusted space and could make a difference, that will require ending the current violence in Tigray. It will likely require some sort of release of some of the prisoners who are seen by many to be arrested on more political reasons than criminal reasons. And obviously, these are all incredibly complex questions, and leading a transition such as the one that Ethiopia is going through is tremendously difficult and really carries a great deal of responsibility. And I think it's really in Prime Minister Abiy's hands to figure out where does he want his legacy. And for the region and the continent and the best advisors of those who have led towards more peaceful societies and navigated these types of conflicts, to be his good advisors and to offer their help and to make clear that this is really an issue of peace and security, not just a domestic challenge within Ethiopia's own borders.
Over to you, Ambassador Shin. We talked about Abiy Ahmed, you know, having received the Nobel Peace Prize for resolving the border conflict between Ethiopia and Eritrea. What do you know of his inclinations at this point? He has been cracking down, closing political space, vowing to, you know, bring those he feels have caused this violence, bring to justice perhaps members of the TPLF. I mean, that may not be a very constructive path toward reconciliation. How much blame should he bear for what is going on?
Well, I think blame for what is happening in Ethiopia today is pretty widespread. I would not single anyone out for being predominantly behind or the cause of what is happening in the country today. I think that if Prime Minister Abiy is thinking that somehow crushing the TPLF is going to solve his internal problems in the country, frankly, I think that's wrong. I don't think it will. There is indeed a great deal of animosity that has built up over the last three decades towards the Tigrayans. It may be possible at the moment to more or less unify the country against the Tigrayans. But these other ethnic issues are going to come back no matter what happens in Tigray region. And if Abiy is not taking that into account, I think he's really missing out on the opportunity of keeping and retaining a unified Ethiopia, which from my very parochial perspective, is what is required here. I think the breakup of the country would be the worst possible outcome. And I think it's critical that all the parties do what they can to ensure the unity of the country.
Back to you, Susan Stigand. You mentioned Abiy Ahmed and his legacy. How do you see his options? And from what you know of him, having received the Nobel Peace Prize, but yet having this other reputation of cracking down and closing political space, as you said, and now this so-called Law and Order Initiative in Tigray, which has really escalated the conflict and spilled over into the region in Sudan and Eritrea. Does the fact that he postponed elections, notwithstanding the COVID pandemic, which is certainly a valid reason, but when will they be rescheduled? Is that a factor? How do you see it?
Yeah, Carol, you asked the question about where does blame sit? And I think that that's a really important question and a very risky question to ask at this point. And what I worry about is all of the blame that's going back and forth right now within the country and blaming others. And there's allegations of killing of senior military officers from the Amhara region. There are allegations and reports of citizens from Tigray who are being profiled based on their ethnicity and removed from positions, blocked from travel, bank accounts blocked. There's pretty strong documentation about humanitarian access being blocked. And I think this feeds into what is really a spiraling set of narratives of other. And we know that in other circumstances, that really puts the country at risk for further violence and makes it harder for any sort of dialogue or reconciliation to take place at some stage. So I think one thing that Prime Minister Abiy and the TPLF could really jointly call for is some sort of independent external investigation about what is taking place, to allow people to take the lid off of this boiling pot and allow for some of that rhetoric to slow down a bit and to take that out of the equation in this moment.
Back to you, Ambassador Shin, to just briefly touch on the role of Eritrea and Sudan. Are they backing the federal government of Ethiopia in this current conflict? What are their roles?
In the case of Sudan, as far as I can tell, the only role they have played so far is to receive refugees coming out of Ethiopia, mainly out of Tigray region. And I'm not aware that they have taken any other action, either supportive of the central government in Addis Ababa or the government in Tigray region. The situation in Eritrea is far more complex, and you have allegations coming from both Tigray region and from Eritrea that are somewhat conflicting. The Tigrayan authorities did acknowledge that they sent a couple of rockets into the airport in Asmara, but they claim they did it because there were attacks that were coming from the Eritrean side. Clearly, Eritrea has involved itself to some extent. The degree is just not known at this point.
Susan Stigant, your take on the role of Eritrea, to what extent it exacerbates the conflict, and also how dangerous this is for Sudan, receiving so many refugees. It's already a fragile state trying to create a democratic path forward.
Yeah, as Ambassador Shin said, the TPLF has indicated that they sent missiles over towards the Eritrean capital. I think that was done on the allegation that the Ethiopian Defense Forces were operating from Eritrea. I think these are some of the other allegations that probably need to be better investigated and understood. There's still pretty limited access and insight on what's happening in Eritrea, pretty limited channels of communication with President Isaias. And I think that this is really important. You know, we've been looking and talking about the critical interconnection between the Gulf countries, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the Horn of Africa, and how this is really increasingly an interconnected political, economic, and security space. We've just put out a report that really calls on the U.S. government to develop a new diplomatic and political engagement strategy that understands and really sets priorities around these new realities in the greater Red Sea region. And we saw this play out in the case of the Sudan transition, I think, where there was an ability to work closely together with the Emiratis and the Saudis and the US and the UK and other partners to create space for the mediation process that the African Union and Ethiopia indeed helped to lead as the Sudanese negotiated their power sharing arrangements between the security and civilian elements. And I think we need to see that type of effort continue in the case of Ethiopia, and to make sure that the right safeguards are in place to keep that Sudanese transition on track.
As we close, Ambassador Shin, any final words, especially with respect to the U.S. role? President-elect Biden will have a lot on his plate, but do you foresee perhaps more constructive involvement, similar to what Susan Stigant mentioned?
I do think that looking forward, the Biden administration will take a deep and serious interest in what is happening, not only in Ethiopia, but in the Horn of Africa generally. I think it fully understands the importance of the region, the interconnectivity of the various conflicts that are going on there, and with Al-Shabaab and Somalia, with ongoing issues in South Sudan, an effort to create a democratic government in Sudan. So I'm hopeful that there will be more attention given to the region with the Biden administration. But we, of course, still have to get through the next 2 months. And I am a bit concerned that as one administration is leaving, its focus is probably elsewhere. And even with the new Biden administration coming in, it's not going to be able to focus in its first week on what's happening in the Horn of Africa. It's going to take a little time to get people in place and focus on the region. But I think eventually it will.
That's all the time we have, unfortunately, on this edition of the program. But we shall continue this important conversation about Ethiopia and the Horn of Africa in general. I'd like to thank my guests, Ambassador David Shin, former ambassador to Ethiopia and Burkina Faso, and Susan Stigant, Director of Africa Programs at the U.S. Institute of Peace. Encounter was produced in Washington with technical assistance from Gary Jaffe and Rick Pantaleo. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Encounter on The Voice of America.